Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance and protection in the coming days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the coming days. Yes, probably everybody is wondering what will be coming our way. And of course, we want to know what is in the future. But really, all we need to know is to stay close to Jesus. And how do we stay close to Jesus? Well, what I find helps is to have an overall thankful attitude to God Jesus and have frequent prayer when we ask for God's mercy for other people. And that can be anybody who we are moved to have prayer for. And about prayer, it has been so very wonderful to see God's answers to our prayer. It's taken some time for me to see this in life, how God answers our prayers according to His plans and His purposes. But we do remember our prayers, especially when we write them down or have a prayer list. So when we write things down, we can kind of remember them better. And with patience, we can look at things and see that God does answer our prayers. And when I say that God answers our prayers, I don't mean that we get what we want especially, but He answers prayers in a way that glorifies Him, God. So, as we learn who God is by reading the Bible or by having a prayer life, we understand more about God. We understand more about how extremely loving God is, and that we want to live in agreement with God's love. And so, when our prayers reflect God's love for us all, then we agree with Him, and He does things that we acknowledge or recognize are just so very good. And then we seek God. We seek to know God more and more, and we agree with God and God's love and God's holiness more and more. And then we can pray in ways that reflect God's loving will. It is beautiful. How beautiful it is to be loved by God according to God's will. Yes, it is. So we hope to not get distracted as we go through life, because there are so many things in this world to get distracted by, including our own emotions, not to mention the electronic distractions that are all around us, the internet, the cell phone, and all of that. So just think. Are you spending too much time talking to, let's just say, friends, and not enough time talking prayerfully to God? Or how about, are you reading too much on the internet or on Facebook and not enough time reading God's Word? Well, that's something for each of us to answer, and I'm sure that you and me, being just as human as we are, we know how easy it is to be distracted from the things of God. And I also know that my choices affect my relation with God. So we just want to reflect on that and realize that we really do want to spend time with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we strive to be holy, 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 I think of 1 Peter 1:16, and it says, "Be ye holy, like I am holy," says God Jesus. And also in James 1:1, about holiness, and it says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." So when we think about how our actions demonstrate who we are and our belief and our commitment, well, I just think we want to be careful with our words and our actions, and we want to remember to put God into our life right there and feel God's great love. And when you feel God's great love, doesn't that make you want to be closer and closer to God and to share the good news of the gospel with others in this world? There's lots of love and joy, and we want to praise God and do that in our words and with song and have joy when we search out God and through Bible study and Christian fellowship or church fellowship, and do this with vigor and joy. And God does warn us not to be lukewarm. There's Revelation 3:16, and it says, "Because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." So, let's not be lukewarm. Let us be hot for God and Jesus. And the popular way of saying this is to be on fire for Jesus. Well, yes, definitely. Well, we get to figure out what words to put this in, but to have that feeling in our heart is a wonderful thing. As we go through life, let's remember to have wise compassion and discernment for what is going on around us and how we show that love, because there's times when we have to be wise with showing love for people. We have to be wise with our use of our words, our time, our talents, our money, so that we serve God Jesus faithfully, because that's what we do as we go through the world, as we go through life. And let us do that boldly. Boldly. I think of Revelation 21:8, and it tells us that we do not want to be fearful. The New King James says we don't want to be cowardly. There's different words for it, but fearful. Unbelieving. See, in Revelation 21:8, it does say the fearful, and it says the unbelieving, and a bunch of other sins it names, and says that these will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. So I wondered about that word, and I looked it up in the Barnes commentary, and it said, "Those who were afraid to avow themselves as friends of God." And in a wicked world, we are fearful, or some are fearful. And the fearful stand in direct contrast to those who are overcomers. So we have to remember what that word is used in a way about. Fearful. Fearful to not avow themselves as friends of God. The Bible gives plenty of examples of people who are courageous, who are willing to stand strong for our God. There's the Bible stories. David, who slew Goliath, was brave. And please remember that David stood against Goliath because the Philistines defied the Lord God of Israel. It wasn't a personal thing. It was because Goliath and the Philistines defied the Lord God of Israel. That's in 1 Samuel 17:45. And David proclaimed that he came in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. So let's be brave. Another biblical example of bravery is Mordecai, the stepfather of Esther, in that book of Esther. He was brave to refuse to bow to Haman. And that was when everyone around him would bow down to Haman, but Mordecai would bow only to the God of the Bible and not to a man. So Haman had his false pride hurt, and he determined to hang Mordecai from a hangman's gallows. Haman even had one built especially for this, just to hang Mordecai. But that was not to be. Read about that in that short book of Esther. That book is only about 10 pages, and you can read that whole book easily. But Mordecai is another example of a brave man. Another biblical example of bravery is in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 3, it happened that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not fall down and worship the golden image when the music played, and the king had commanded that they did that. So because they were disobeying the king's rules, they were thrown into that fiery furnace. But they did not die. When they were thrown into that fiery furnace, in fact, the king noticed that they walked around in the furnace with another person who was like the Son of God. That's in Daniel 3, chapter 3, verse 25, or right in there. There are brave people in the Bible, lots of them. Even I think of Stephen in the book of Acts at the end of chapter 7. He was stoned to death for his faith in Jesus. But as he was being stoned, he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man, who is Jesus, standing at the right hand of God." Well, brave people are in the Bible, and brave people are in the world today. Today, people who stand up for Jesus, people who stand up for their neighbor and have compassion for against injustice. So today there are so many who have died, well, let's just say because of their faith, just the ones who have died for their faith in Jesus in the last 2,000 years. Oh, how many thousands have died. And most of the apostles died for their faith. Thousands of martyrs who die probably every year still. It's that we are to be brave. And there is a heavenly reward awaiting those who die in the faith of Jesus Christ. So, yeah, just we die. People die just in ordinary life. But to die for our faith is a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful reward in heaven. And that's the thing about it, if you believe or you don't believe, You will get through it one way or another. It's for sure. So we get through death with faith or without faith, because it is a fact that we all perish, die. But will we live again in heaven? That's the question. We are assured that we have a place in heaven by what we know in reading the Bible, but we know what we know in our prayer life. There's plenty of testimonies that we can listen to, or we can read the Bible. That's another testimony, so that we can understand and have knowledge that this is true. Now, if you need to know the truth, or if you need comfort or understanding, I hope you will pray and ask God, Jesus, for what you need, because our God is faithful. And God, Jesus, gives us what we need. And yes, if it is in His will. So we do things as we know God, we get more and more familiar with what He wants for us and requires for us. So here we are in this world with so much going on, and we get to choose. Are we going to live godly, or are we going to live ungodly? We have so much going on, and it's always been like that. If you read the Bible, same thing. You can see there's so much in our Bible that has gone on, both that is just in normal life and in prophecy. And you know that what the Bible tells us will happen. And the Bible says before Jesus returns, we will have famine, pestilence, earthquakes, and wars, and more. So when we look at what is going on around us, I think we can just try to relate to the love of God as we go through life. We see the hurts. Oh, yes, we do. We see the intrigue between people and countries. Even we see explosions, thefts and adultery and murder. We see all these things. Some of it's bad, and we know that we don't want to be a part of that bad, a part of that evil. No, we want to hold on to the goodness of God. And so that's what we do as Christians. We hold on to that goodness, and we express goodness as best we know how. And that's what we have every desire to do when we seek holiness, God's holiness. Because we are in a battle right here on earth every day. We are in a war, a spiritual battle, and it takes place in front of us in our present world. It's a war against God, and it's a war against God's creation, who God loves, and that's us. And our part is to overcome the world with faith and with reason and with love. Anyway, that's what I see. So they go together. Faith is reasonable. It is feelings, but it is also intellect and reasoning. Oh, and I know, because that's how I came to Christ and biblical faith. See, 25 years ago, I was an unbeliever, and I was a history guy, and I realized that of all the history books that I read, I had never read the Bible. So I set about to gather facts and background about the Bible. So I ended up reading probably 8 or 10 books about the Bible and about history and about the Hebrews and all sorts of things. And that took a couple of years, and then it took me a year to read the Bible. And I said, oh my, I have to read this book again. So I did. Another year, and I read the entire Bible. And then I became a committed follower of Jesus Christ. And it was a journey. We all have our own journey. And some of us come to faith immediately. And it's immediate. And a person has faith and that strong relation with Christ immediately. But some of us have a little different journey to go on. And I like to say about mine, because it was done as I reasoned my way through it. And yes, there is a core of your heart seeking God and seeking truth. And so there are different paths to God of the Bible. And that is, you want to focus on God of the Bible, not any of the other gods of this world. Oh, no. Well, today, what do we have going on around us? All sorts of things. We have people with great big feelings and emotions who are trying to get through what is around them. And sometimes they do it through of their rational understanding. And it's okay to use our emotion and our reasoning for all these things. That's what God gave us these things for. So we could use them as tools for our greater understanding, for our comfort and our stability too. That's one of the many things that we have and are involved in just in life. We grasp understanding through our emotion and our intellect in many ways. In this world, we have so many concerns that we have to address, and then we try to apply our biblical principles to the concerns and problems in front of us. And in the Bible, there's so many instances of money being used as an example of this, and that's the same today. Today, there are so many examples of life and money that we have to deal with in our personal life, in our business life, in our political life. Oh boy, aren't we spending money? Yes, as a country, as a state, as a city, we spend beyond our ability, beyond our practical ability. And that makes for an uncertain future. Yes, it does. I saw in the paper the other day that the chief of CalPERS, and CalPERS is the retirement fund mechanism for the state of California workers. Well, he just immediately resigned, and we don't know why. But there's been quite a certain controversy about CalPERS for a few years, that they cannot continue because they spend too much. They have promised too many benefits to the workers who have worked for the state. And so for a few years now, there has been talk about CalPERS would have to be cut. The benefits that CalPERS pays would have to be cut by 30%. Well, that doesn't seem to be happening. Instead, we keep paying higher taxes, and that's just the way it is. Another answer to this problem, though, is inflation. See, we have been having inflation of all for 100 years, a little bit at a time, but it's continuing today. Now, if we were to have hyperinflation, that is the easy way out of all the pensions and benefits that our government has committed to. if our money were to be devalued by 30% instead of the benefits being cut by 30%, that is another way out of our financial. It is a crisis. It just hasn't hit us yet, but it is a crisis. So if hyperinflation were to hit us, where we would have 15 or 30% inflation in a year, then we could pay all those benefits, but then our money would be no good. And that's what people are wondering is going on, or will go on very soon. There's reason to see crises. The crises would make changes, and one of these crises is this coronavirus, COVID-19. It's creating crisis all through our society, and it is creating businesses that are failing all over the place. And what do? We spend more and more money. More and more money. The Federal Reserve is making money available to lots of different entities, cities, states, the federal government, and even corporations, in other countries. Very interesting. We are kind of in a crisis right now, or it's in the beginning phases, because we're having our habits changed with our lives. Think of not going to church. Will that return? Think of not going to school. You know, the K-12 schooling this year. Well, are we going to have another crisis and have that delayed for just one more year maybe? Well, that's going to make learning a whole lot harder. Do you remember going back to school after summertime? It was harder to get back into the school routine. And if we go a year without school or longer, it's going to be very hard for the children. Bill Gates said something about a crisis that he has said things about this crisis, but he says that there is another crisis ahead that could be worse than the coronavirus. A lot of things he says without defining what he's talking about, but we don't know. We'll see. What does he know that we don't? I just wonder. Well, I think our position as Christians is that our God is good, and he takes care of his own. So let us be concerned about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's, I think, what we do, and then we spread the good news of the gospel. I know that the things that we pray for when they glorify God and benefit a person, that often enough happens in the long run. It happens. But we don't know exactly what's going to happen in the future. It's unknown. But it sure looks like we could have a hard time coming in the future because we are told by quite a few people that there will be troubles coming very soon. Powerful people, people who are well connected, are saying trouble is coming. A depression is coming. A couple of days ago, Neil Kashkari, the Federal Reserve President of the Minneapolis District, he said a greater catastrophe is coming than this coronavirus, COVID-19, and that would make what we have felt in the last few months feel like a warm-up to what is coming. So he's predicting some pretty serious trouble coming. And, you know, so often these people who know a little bit don't tell you what they're thinking or what they know. But we uh, we are We are in, there are people who have talked about these kind of things for some years now, and now they are coming about. What's coming next? We just don't quite know, but there are people who say a society-wide lockdown is coming up. Oh, I guess that's what Neel Kashkari talked about, the president of the Federal Reserve District. Well, and that would mean more businesses would fail and there would be very high unemployment. We'll see, but it's just another reason to prepare, because we are being warned about this and that just might happen. A lot of people who are in a position to know, they are warning us. Oh, I think of that top financial author, James Rickards. He has connections with financial people and government people, and he says that our government is planning on a worst-case scenario in our soon future. They're planning. I don't know, but I wonder about it. I hear people talk. I hear our retired congressman, Ron Paul, talk. He's been involved with both state and regional or national government also for 30 years. And he has said that every American needs to prepare. Dave Ramsey on the Christian Financial Advisor, he says Americans are saving more than before. And you can only say that the reason for that is because they recognize that there is trouble coming. And then that the number of concerned Americans are increasing every month. Oh, and there's people who recognize the central banks are increasingly concerned about our economies. So when people see all the concern, they are going to a place that is stable. And that, I think, is why gold and silver are going up in price. Well, especially the physical gold and silver. I've heard it said that you can't buy, or it's very hard to buy gold and silver from dealers nowadays because there has been so much demand. People want to own it physically. They don't want to have it a certificate that says they own it. They want to actually have it in their hand. And that's reasonable if we are headed for a crash. If our dollar and our economy is going to crash, yes, we wouldn't want to depend on getting into our safe deposit boxes. Anyway, that's what some people say. You figure it out and look into the matter. But there's a lot of fundamentals that have been indicating, and they are continuing to indicate, that we are going to go through a time of difficulty. I think of an avalanche, because you can see that the conditions are right for an avalanche, but you can never know exactly when it's going to occur. And that's how I think of our financial system right now. With all the uncertainties going on, we can tell that the conditions are right for a crash, for some great big changes to happen. But we still cannot predict quite exactly when it'll happen. So that just means let's be cautious and let's consider what we would do if there was a crash. And of course, we have to do that before it happens. Because after it happens, it's too late. We can look at the historical examples of countries around us, and we can see that people have been able to have a sense of when crashes are close, when they are near and at hand, but they've still been very wrong about exactly when they will happen. And I think we can learn from that lesson and just get some provisions ready for the just in case. For me, I remember in the final days of that Obama administration, and I thought a collapse was months away. But I was wrong, because, well, probably because the Trump administration had made some good economic decisions, and that has delayed what I see as an inevitable situation where there is a collapse. But we can only guess when. We can only guess, because we're ordinary people. So people are recognizing that there is trouble on the horizon, and they want to get a physical coin of silver or of gold just to have on hand for the just in case, to preserve their assets, because if there is a crash, it is so extremely likely that our currency will be devalued, and we just might lose that 30% of value overnight. That has happened in other countries, and it can happen here also. I'm just thinking about just a few days ago, John Hagee said that the coronavirus is a dress rehearsal for a new world order. You know, I don't know that I don't disagree, but I can't quite agree with a lot of things either. But we can look at the indicators. We can see the direction that people are talking about. And we could say, what would I do if, and shouldn't I be prepared for? So, a lot of people are recommending silver and gold, and the price has been going up, and they say it will go up a lot more. But you don't know, and I don't know. We don't know the future. We don't know. But we can do things that are reasonable and not put all of our eggs in one basket. You know what I mean. So I think that it deserves a good look at what to do, because our dollar's value can go up and down, and it could be a sudden thing too. So look at that concept and see what you would like to do. Try to grasp what could happen and then protect yourself from that just in case. I was reading an article about people who were renouncing their American citizenship. I thought that was interesting. In 2019, about 2,000 people did renounce their American citizenship. But in the first half of 2020, about 5,000 people renounced their American citizenship. I'm not sure what that means, but I did find it interesting. And by the way, it costs $2,350 payable to the United States government to renounce your citizenship. Well, I just wondered about that. It's just interesting. Lots goes on in this world. Lots goes on around us. And many people need the hope of Jesus Christ. Yes, they do. And that's a part of what we do. We spread the good news of the gospel because we are Christians. We want to show our friends, our neighbors, our family, the love of Jesus Christ. And one way we do that is by having intercessory prayer. And I think we pray on the behalf of another person. You know, there are some people who just hurt so bad that they can barely get by in life. And then what we can do is pray for that person. We just might pass somebody on the street and notice that they are in great despair. They might not be able to pray for themselves, but we can have an intercessory prayer for them, for people we know, for people in our family. There's a lot of people who, either for riches or for a disaster in their life, they can't pray because they're all focused on something else. And so we can pray for other people as an act of love for that other person. No, I think for God and Jesus too. And to pray for other people, you know, I'm just thinking about praying for my children. I have prayed for people way before a situation comes about. And that's a form of intercessory prayer also. I've prayed that they have good marriages or for their spouse. And I did that when they were very young, too young to be even thinking about marriage or a spouse. So you can have prayer for lots of people in lots of situations. Have that conversation with God. Yes, because I think you could say pretty clearly, God likes people to talk to him. Looks that way to me. So we want to talk to God about the things that are going on, about our cares, our concern, our wonderful joy, our thankfulness, our love, all those things. There are different ways that we can have intercessory prayer. And I think of James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so let's try to be that righteous person. And to do that, what do we need to do? I think it always helps to examine your life and if there's anything you need to repent of, to change in your life, and then you get to be that righteous person and have that relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of God. Well, you know what? I think I want to talk a little bit about being prepared again. About being prepared. Now, this is something which we can only guess for what, because we really don't know what to be prepared for. I think it changes over time, and it changes as we get to know one thing or another, and our attention goes here or there, and we know what to pray for. We know what to have concern about. We see a trouble. We see someone else with trouble, and we do something so we don't have that same trouble happen to us. And that's why we have a storehouse of what I always like to say is water, food, and warmth. So think about what you want to have in your storehouse. Not just for you and your loved ones, but for other people. God wants us to share what we have with others as we follow the second great commandment, which is to love our neighbor as ourself. So I hope you think about what you have on hand and what you can give to other people who are in need. And you do that with wisdom. There's no doubt about it. You don't just give all that you have all at once to one person who's not going to take care of it. No, I think you do things wisely. God has entrusted you with resources. So use those resources wisely. And I think we all start off thinking about what our own needs are, if we are going to be safe during something or other happening. So do we have food for ourselves? Do we have food or stuff for our family or for people who are near us? It's just a good question, but where is the line? Where does it stop? Do we care for our neighbors, but what about our church? Are they our neighbors? What about the neighborhood children? Are they our neighbors? How do we show compassion? Well, I think we all do that according to what we understand, and I don't mean I know what it is, but I want you to look and wonder at it. and see if your storehouse ought to be enlarged so that you have the needed things for another person. Well, let's think. We are in a progression in our society of things happening. It is a natural progression to think about what could happen and what we want to be prepared for. And I think that prayer is a good thing to do for all our seeking of understanding and guidance and direction. So I hope you start off your examination with prayer to God through Jesus Christ. Ask Him to help with His guidance for you. But I'll just say it again. What I like to look at are the basic needs of water, which includes a water filter, and food and warmth. So about water. When you are storing water, yes, you can put it in just about any container. But I prefer a 5-gallon can or container that is intended for storing water. It's made of kind of a little bit hard plastic, and I think that's better. I also like the 2-liter soda bottles for storing water. All you have to do is rinse it out. If you want to put a couple of drops in there of bleach, 1 or 2 drops, that's all you need. And then you keep it in a cool, dry place, if you can. But when you need water, you need water. And if it has a little algae growing in it, you drink it anyway. That's just the way it is. You drink it with a little bleach smell or taste in it because you need the water. You need it for cooking. You need it for bathing even. You need it to flush your toilet. So, but that's another part. Okay, water. So for water, have some water stored, and I say have a water filter. Like a big Berkey water filter is good because they're passive. You don't have to suck it through a straw. You don't have to pump it out of a pump. It's just you put it in at night and it comes out the next, well, it depends on the time frame, but it comes out. And then you can drink it. So, that's water. Food. Food is such an individual choice. I don't even know what to say, kind of, except you want to have some. You want to have some of every kind of food that you decide on. You have to look into what you can afford, and how much it costs, and how long the food will last. It's a very individual thing to say about food. I really can't even begin to tell you what to do, except to give you ideas. And I can tell you what I do. I like whole grains because they last and last, especially wheat, and there are a few others. I like white rice, too. And then you want to have a hand-powered grain grinder to grind the wheat to make it into bread. You'll need a few other things, but that's what I consider my food to be. Grain to make bread with rice, oil, and I like a little sugar in it, too. Or some people prefer honey. And you can use a leavening, a yeast. That lasts for quite a while. You can make bread without yeast also. But yeast is better. You can put all sorts of things into bread to make it more interesting. You can put raisins in. You can put chocolate chips in. You can, just use your imagination. It is all good. Now, another thing for food that you can do is you can have some gardening in your home. And by the way, it's good to start a garden before you need one because you learn as you go along. And even now, right now, before the end of summer, it is a time that you can plant some crops right now. There's still time. These crops can take 5, 6, or 7 weeks to mature. But right now there is a time, and you can plant food at the end of summertime. Here's some good ones. Beans, beets, cabbage, leek, broccoli, potatoes, corn, and peas. These can even last through the winter, especially kale does. But there's some other ones, and you can pick your food, fresh food, off those plants, even in the middle of winter. It's getting towards the end of their cycle, but you can still do it. I hope that you look at heirloom seeds, because those can be saved and replanted in the next year's garden. And you want to look at how many calories you want to eat, because calories is important. And you might actually have to eat a couple of meals a day instead of just three. You can get high-calorie foods like peanut butter and canned meat, or use sugar and honey and oil. All those things are good if there is an emergency situation. And it's good for children to have calories. It's good for people who do a lot of physical labor to have calories. So even though we don't want them now in our present culture, calories are good when you are trying to get by. Another category of things to look at is warmth. And I think of clothes in this category first, because clothes is our first, the thing that's closest to us when we think about staying warm. I know in the summertime we think about staying cool, but it's the wintertime that we have to think about more than summer to stay warm and dry. And how we do that is to have layers of clothes. And we have different clothes because if there really is an emergency situation, we're going to want to dress a little differently, like warmer. We're going to want to be able to put on several shirts and still be able to put our pants on. So have some larger size pants and some smaller size pants in case you gain the thickness because of the extra shirts, or if you lose weight. All things to consider. You'll need shoes. Don't forget that. Now, sure, we can get by with anything in the summer, but in the winter, we will need something to keep our feet warm and dry and even warm. So be sure to have extra socks. Socks are really good to have in the wintertime. Extra socks. I happen to like wool or a wool blend, and you can decide what you like. Jackets or long coats are also important. For one thing, they protect you from the rain, and I happen to like a number of things for jackets and coats. I like wool because it keeps you warm, but there's synthetics that also keep you warm even when they're wet, like wool or synthetics. So you have to look at what you'd like to see, or have a couple of jackets or coats so that one is drying while you wear the other one. You have to have something to keep your ears warm. This is very important. I think of a watchman's cap, but I have seen people wrap their head with a scarf also, and you want to keep your ears warm. So a scarf is good. Gloves or mittens are good. And then, of course, you will need something to stay warm through the night, like a sleeping bag. So have one of those extra. All these things are good. Blankets are good. I've heard of people who like a space blanket, too. Oh, but it seems like if you use a space blanket to keep warm, you are going to have condensation around you. And that's kind of difficult when you get up. So all those things. Now, if it's those kind of primitive conditions, we're also going to want to deal with fire. So have matches. Have a Bic lighter. Have an axe or a saw for your firewood. Again, this is for the just in case. And if you're around a campfire, I suggest natural fibers, because if you have a synthetic next to your skin and it catches fire, it's going to melt on your skin, and that's very painful. So natural fibers next to your skin. And have a little soap with you. Yes, we can learn to make soap, but it's so much easier to buy. Have some soap. Even just a little bit helps. And that will keep the campfire smell off of you and your clothes. It gets to be pretty strong after a while, campfire smoke. So it's all a matter of you deciding what you would like to be prepared for. There's no answer for this, because everybody's different. Everyone has a different thought about what foods they like, how to store water and how much, even though they do tell us a gallon a day is what you need. So if water is not coming out of your tap, you have to know where to get it and how to purify it, clean it at least, so that you can drink it. And then you want to have antidiarrheal tablets, because those things just come in handy. And when you need them, you need them. So you figure out what ways that you want to prepare with warmth, with food, with water, and then do something. It doesn't get done unless you actually take the steps to have some on hand for that just in case. And I often talk about earthquakes, because those are something that can happen anywhere. They've even been happening in parts of the United States that don't usually have earthquakes. So if you want my ideas about a preparedness subject, I do have a free preparedness pamphlet, and I'll send it to you if you send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And if you want to listen again, you can by going to www.christtoday.org. That's no spaces and all lower cases. So may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.